I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a five-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'm so proud to be teaming up with Fitbit again in 2020. I want to continue on my path of self-discovery and set myself new challenges this year. Often it's only when we're tested that we're awakened to our true potential. I recently completed a 12K run in the Swiss Alps, something I never thought I could do. But with Fitbit by my side, I'm able to stay focused on my health fitness journey, continue to be motivated to go after my goals and to track my progress too. And with that, I'm surprising myself every single day. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Keith Walsh. 2FM's Keith has become an advocate for taking care of your mental health after opening up last year. He told his followers that he didn't want to feel just grand anymore and had decided to go to therapy. Today, he speaks to me about his journey and how asking for help is always a good idea. This week, after the death of Caroline Flack, I felt I needed to record a podcast around mental health. I struggled myself after I was diagnosed with cancer in 2017. Today, myself and Keith have an open and honest conversation, and I hope if you are struggling, you can see light at the end of the tunnel. I heard something really interesting that Jerry Hussey said last week. He said, "We are the light." And I think that's a really nice way of looking at things. I hope if you are going through a tough time that this podcast gives you hope, because that's all I ever wanted to achieve with it. Please call Pieta House if you feel like you need help or you are in crisis on 1-800-247-247. I went to counselling last year and hand on my heart, it was the best thing I ever did. Lots of love to you all on a very tough week. Keith Walsh, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Thanks for having me, Georgie. This is exciting.
An old friend. I think we've known each other, must be over 12 years now.
Yeah, we're trying to work it out there. My daughter's 17, so I always know that Spin is 17 years old because Anna was a baby, was born when Spin was born. So, and then you joined, I suppose. We were still doing the breakfast show, but I think we were almost coming towards the end of the breakfast show when you started. I know Jamie had been a spinny right from the start, your husband.
Yeah,
Jamie.
Yeah.
And obviously you weren't husband and wife then. So then you joined. Actually, Jamie used to do a brilliant, he used to do a Bob Geldof. Does he still do Bob Geldof?
Every once a month at least.
Yeah. He used to do a great Bob Geldof. And then you were the new young spinnies that came along then. Yeah, the new exciting young spinnies. It was when you guys came along, we knew we were old and we had to leave.
It was funny. I was watching The Office last night, the American one, and they were having a race in the office with two cups of tea and trying not to spill it. And it just reminded me so much of Spin back in the day. Of the things we used to fill our days with were so pointless yet so fulfilling.
There's a great dance-off video that kind of pops up every now and then. I can't remember this. What was the song? Put Your Hands Up for Detroit, whatever the name of that song is. But there's a great dance-off where people are going absolutely ballistic to try and win this dance-off. And it's just the funniest thing ever. But yeah, it was really good times, you know.
Good times. Yeah. You wouldn't get away with half the stuff anymore, but they were the good old days. This week, I think, obviously, Caroline Flack is on everyone's mind. And I reached out to you during the week and I said, you know, we may not have the answers. I think everyone is searching for answers this week, but at least we can maybe have a conversation about asking for help and knowing it's okay not to be okay. Keith, you were so brave at the end of last year in a video about your own mental health. Can you tell us a little bit about that video and why you decided to post it?
Well, I suppose, I mean, like what I said in the video, I suppose just to reiterate that was that I mean, the breakfast. So I'm presenting the breakfast show on 2FM, and I'd done that for 5 years, and it came to an end. And suddenly, a kind of, I think it was a combination of my age, the show coming to an end. You know, there's some sort of perfect storm thing happened where, like, the breakfast show coming to an end, as you know, when you look at it from a practical point of view, totally fine. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing for 2FM to do. It's the right thing for us to do. We've done 5 years. It was good. Let's move on. But you can't help somewhere in the back of your mind feeling a sense of rejection. You know, because you can't help it. You can look at it as practically as you want, and be as level-headed as you want about it. But there's somewhere in the back of your mind where you feel rejected. That coupled with the fact that I was in my 40s, my kids were at a certain age where I kind of had a little bit of time, and I started thinking about my mental health. I'd always, not always, but in the last kind of 5 years, I'd started looking after my physical health, my nutrition, you know, how much sleep I was getting. I was very good at all these things, and that was all well and good, but I'd never really addressed my mental health. And I thought, kind of, what the ending of the breakfast show gave me was time, and time to think. And I decided at that stage, it had been something I'd been thinking about for a long time. I decided at that stage, I'm going to go see a therapist, and I'm going to see about my mental health and see where I'm at. And it was so good that I decided, and part of the therapy as well is Luke is the guy I go to see, and he's my therapist. He's my friend as well, you know. I kind of enjoy going to see him. But part of what Luke said to me was a big part of healing and getting better and moving on is being vulnerable and allowing yourself to be vulnerable. So talking to people about what's going on, admitting that you're not feeling great, admitting that you're feeling, you know, when the breakfast show ended, that you're feeling a little bit rejected. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Don't feel bad. You don't have to be the, that's cool, everything's cool, everything's great. And he talked to me about being vulnerable. And the reason I shared the video was because that was kind of, for me, part of me being vulnerable and telling people, look, I go to see a therapist. I really enjoy it. It's really good. And it's helped me deal with how I was feeling, and that, and telling people that I didn't want to feel the way I was feeling anymore. And part of that was sort of being with my family and this kind of feeling. And I think a lot of Irish men especially sort of put up with, we're happy enough to just be grand, you mm-hmm. know? Mm. And I think I was done with just being grand. Everything was grand. And like I was presenting, like, I don't want to be, it's not egotistical, but you're presenting the breakfast show on the national radio station. For me as a radio presenter, that's a huge deal, you know. But I never felt like this is a huge, I never felt really happy about it. I never felt ecstatic about it. I never felt the achievement of it. I was just like, yeah, okay, this is where I'm at now. Grand. I need to deal with this. It's grand. Everything's grand. I was never too happy. I was never too sad. It was just somewhere in the middle, and I felt like I wasn't good enough. So I wasn't, there'll be moments in family life where, you know, kids be having the crack, or, you know, people be literally laughing their heads off, and I'd be sitting there going, well, this is nice, you know, this is grand, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck is how people would describe it, and I wanted to become unstuck, and talking helps you. Even this mm-hmm. is therapy. This mm-hmm. is therapeutic for me. This is good. I'm talking. It'll be therapeutic for somebody else because they'll be listening and they'll be thinking, okay, I can identify with that. That's good for me. That doesn't mean I'm a weirdo. These are just human traits, and to talk about them is beneficial for everybody, you know.
And did you feel like you had, obviously you had a choice, but did you feel like before, say in the 5 minutes before you went live on Instagram, which is a very brave thing to do. I think it wasn't a pre-recorded chat or anything. You went live and you were there and you were saying it. But was there a moment like, I remember when I went into Today FM to tell people that I had cancer, I felt like I was about to jump out of a plane or something. Mm. That feeling of, oh, I'm about to do something and this is it then. I can't take it back. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I'd imagine for you, like, you're kind of, there's no going back. And then you feel like almost are you going to become a different person?
Yeah.
You know, and how are people going to look at you and how are they going to treat you and all that kind of stuff? And it's, yeah, look, it took me a long time to do it, and I kept thinking about it. And obviously I was going to see Luke every week, and there was other stuff going on. I was dealing with stuff like childhood traumas, stuff I'd never dealt with, things I needed to deal with, and that was all going on. And then this kind of vulnerable thing and vulnerability thing was in the back of my mind, and I thought, well, the ultimate vulnerability would be to tell other people that, you know, therapy is okay and you should go. I go to see a therapist and I really enjoy it, and this is why I go. And that's, it was always kind of in the back of my mind. And then my sister, bizarrely, she kind of came to me out of the blue and she said, we're doing a thing for Mental Health Week in work. Would you talk at it? And I was like, first of all, why would I talk about mental health? And but she obviously knew something, or I don't know. I mean, maybe I'd been talking to her. I presume I'd been talking to her, or I'd mentioned I was going to see it to a therapist. And I said, and I just agreed because I was like, okay, this is, there's something here. And I agreed to doing it. And as it came closer and closer, I was like, oh God, what am I going to talk about? And I'd sit down with a piece of paper and I'd sit down at the laptop and I'd try and write something. I just couldn't. So what I decided to do, this was literally the day before I had to give this talk, was to trial the talk and what I would say, but do it live and do it on Instagram, because I couldn't edit. Mm-hmm. I just had to speak straight from my heart, because I wanted to get up there and just speak and just be honest. And that was, so that was my trial run for the speech the next day. That was it. And I didn't even know, for me, I was just doing it live because it was for me, you know. I didn't, and the vulnerable thing was for me, you know, it was my therapy. I didn't even know if people would, I mean, care about it, or, you know, share it or be interested, you know. So that was, it was good to see that people were open to listening to it, and people seem to get something from it. So
what was the reaction to it?
Yeah, it was huge. It was a huge reaction, and there was a mixture. So there was a lot of people telling me I was very brave for doing it, which is that's part of it. There was a huge amount of people who said, this is my husband, this is my boyfriend, this is my partner, I'm going to show them the video when I get home. I think they need to do what you're doing. I think that they can. I think that they feel like there's something wrong, or I feel like there's something wrong, and they don't know what it is. And I think this is it. I think, you know, people, they will identify with that. There was so many people that got in touch with me then, and I was sort of sending on. I was like, on to Luke. On Luke, I need to. Can I pass on your number, because all these people are getting in touch with me? They just wanted a number for a therapist, you know. And Luke is very good, because you can email him if you don't feel comfortable going to see, and he'll, you know, he'll say, look, this is what I think you should do. And even if you're not in the same part of the country as him, he'll point you in the direction of a therapist. So he was great, and he was a great help. And then there was people who, there was one kind of young guy, and I'd say kid, he was probably in his 20s, who was about to get married, and he just got in touch with me. He sent me this big message. He was about to get married, and he'd had this childhood trauma that he'd never spoken to many people about, and he'd never spoken to this girl he was about to marry, his fiance. And he felt that she always felt like there was something not quite right with him, and he could never. He was always sort of saying, "Oh, I'm grand, I'm fine." He'd never broached the subject, and he was like, "I'm about to marry this person, and I could ruin their life if I don't deal with this now." So he said, "I need to deal with it, Keith." And I realised that now, and I was able to put him in touch with somebody who he was able to go. And I just felt that's even that alone, like for one couple to be heading into married life with no secrets, you know, because it happens a lot, and a lot of marriages and relationships break down because there's things that one or the other person can't talk about, which is tragic, because everybody, it's not an easy thing. But if only people could see, just talking about these things and dealing with them would make your life so much better. But anyway, that particular kid stands out. And then I remember talking to Luke one day, and he said, Keith, I was kind of heading off on my Christmas break from therapy. I'll see you in the new year. And he said, Keith, he said, I don't think you understand what you've done. You're a mental health advocate. And I was like, I'm not. And he said, you are. He said, I have 20 men coming to see me because of you. And he said, that's possibly 20 families. That's not just 20 people. That's 20 men plus their families, their extended families, their friends. And that's making all the, and you just don't realize, you know. So, you know, you just, the power of just being vulnerable and opening up and talking, it does have a knock-on effect. And Luke would always describe it as, because I would talk to him about writing stuff or about things I want to do, and you know, am I good enough, and what would people think if I write something? They'll think, who's that guy? He's only a presenter now, he's trying to do a show and whatever. And he's like, well, all you can do is throw the stone into the pond and let the ripples do whatever they're doing. You just do the thing, let other people decide what it is. And that's what I learned from doing that video. It wasn't up to me what people did with it or how people responded to it. I was just doing it. Mm. And the response was up to everybody else.
And do you see life now as kind of before and after that moment in your time?
Sort of. Like, it's, I mean, you're always working on it. So you're always, you know, there's still ups and downs, or there's still days where you're like, I've noticed lately there's less days where I feel absolutely floored. Because there would always have been days where I just like feel, especially if I'd done something, like something live or a live show, if I had a great week on the breakfast show, if I'd done something live on television, the next day I'd feel absolutely floored, and the voices in my head would be telling me how bad I am. You know, do you know that? Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, if you do something great, you have those voices bringing you back down to earth and saying, well, you're not actually that good. And actually, it wasn't that great. There was a lot of mistakes you made there, and there's a lot of things that weren't great about that thing. So don't get ahead of yourself, you know. And that's, I don't know if it's an Irish thing. It's definitely a me thing.
You can't even enjoy the good times.
No.
Because you weren't allowing yourself to.
You weren't allowing yourself to, because you always had those voices telling you, well, that's probably still not good enough, and it's not actually as good as you think it is. And but what therapy allowed me to do was sit with those thoughts, I'd always try and suppress them and try and push the voices away, or, you know, so now I can sit with them and go, okay, well, what are you telling me? What is this telling me? What are you saying to me? What are we talking about here? And you kind of, you know, make friends with the voices.
Yeah.
And there's less days where I'm absolutely floored. You're constantly working. You're constantly working on it. Somebody described it recently as when you get to a point, you start getting glimpses of who you were, kind of, I don't know whether to say at your purest, but at some stage in your life, maybe as a teenager, now in my 40s, I'm starting to get glimpses of that person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then those glimpses get a bit bigger. So you start just becoming who you're meant to be.
Your true self.
I know it sounds, I mean, even me
here,
saying
I get exactly what you're talking about. I went through counselling myself for a year, and I remember one of the first couple of days I went to counselling, my counsellor said, like, what do you do when you have a negative thought? And all my negative thoughts were around, you know, cancer and dying. And I'd say, well, what I do with those negative thoughts is I punch them away, right? Mm. She was like, well, that's great, but what you need to do is acknowledge it and let it pass through you instead of just punching everything away all the time and having that guard or shield up. You need to let it pass through. Mm. And now every time I have a negative thought or I'm worried or scared about something, that's what I do. But to arm you with information and coping mechanisms like that is life-changing, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. I mean, you're allowing yourself, so you become unblocked, you're allowing yourself to access emotions, so you deal with stuff. And that whole thing about feeling grand is basically suppressing things, so nothing's really going to get to me. I've got this kind of wall up, so I'm not going to be affected by anything really bad, but it also means you're not affected by anything really good. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And so now I'm in the process of kind of unpacking everything, you know, and constantly unpacking, constantly looking at things and doing things like writing or doing things that I've always wanted to do, and allowing myself to do that and not worry about it or not give myself 50 reasons not to do that before I even sit down to do anything. So it's all that stuff. So yes, there is a before and after. But the after isn't like, I haven't reached a destination. I've just started, you know, I've started the journey. I know the word journey is used a lot, but it's just the start, which is exciting.
I'll get back to my conversation with Keith in just a second, but first I wanted to give you an update on my Fitbit. By being on Fitbit, it allows you to get to know yourself better, to understand your health with data and insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power. And Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I love being able to track my sleep, keep an eye on my resting heart rate over time, as well as capture key stats from my workouts. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board as it helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Now, back to Keith.
And I've done things like I've joined this a group called the Dublin, it's a Dublin boys club, and it's just a bunch of lads who meet up, and we went to Glendalough for a walk, and we just chat about masculinity, healthy masculinity, and I find that helpful, and I find doing things like that, like, you know, you just start, you just see all these possibilities, you know, suddenly.
Wow. And what makes you feel better? Like, is it like being in nature outside?
I think being with people and talking with people.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just starting to enjoy just life, just being in the moment, just happy to be, just be. You know, there's no, I'm not rushing to do anything, or I don't need to be anywhere. I don't need to be. There's less kind of like, where am I in my career, how am I measuring myself? I would have done a lot of measuring myself against other people, and where am I at and where are they at, and there's a lot of kind of jealousy that comes with that. And even with jealousy, you get to look at why you're jealous, and you're jealous of somebody because they're doing something that you'd like to do, so why not try and do that? And that's why jealousy happens. There's nothing wrong with it, you know, it's not a bad thing. The only bad thing is if jealousy results in anger, because, you know, so there's all, yeah, look, it's I'm happy. I'm feeling like I'm just a lot happier in general, and not even, I can't pinpoint a time or a moment. It's just,
it sounds like you've given yourself the gift of time, and that's an amazing gift for yourself. What was it like when you saw people for the first time after the video, like walking into work or seeing your mate? Like, was there a lot of support there? Did people acknowledge what you had done?
Yeah, like, well, people are still saying it to me. The people that I mightn't have seen for a while and haven't seen since are still saying, you know, wow, really, you know, that was great. I really took a lot from it. And I don't have any friends, so I didn't see it. Like,
Luke is your friend.
Yeah, Luke. I pay my therapist to be my friend. Yeah, look, there's still, you see, there are people that I'm friends with, but there's still a lot of men out there that don't want to acknowledge this, that don't want to talk about it, you know, and won't. And maybe they will at some stage, you know, and that's fine. There's other people that will come straight up to you and go, wow, that really resonated with me, and this is why, and thank you very much. And, you know, people will get in touch and say, I've started therapy, or, you know, I've gone back again because you, people I know, you know. So it opens up, you're allowed to talk to people differently, and they allow themselves to talk to you differently, which is great. And then you get some people who, and there's nothing wrong with that, sort of tilt the head and as if, oh, poor Keith, he's got mental health. And it's, which is a reaction, and it's totally fine. But the thing that I'm trying to get across is we all have mental health. It's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, please, if you have a car, you need to, you know, you need to fix, you need to look after it. You have mental health, you need to look after it. You have a physical health and a mental health, you just need to look after it. You know, there is still that kind of Irish thing of, oh, poor old such and such, he suffers with his nerves. You know, poor old Keith, he's got mental health. You know, there is a little bit of that as well, and I totally understand it. But, you know, what I would say is we all have mental health, and I'm happy to talk about how I'm going to therapy to dealing with it, and how it's benefited me, and how great I feel. So hopefully someday you will also enjoy that as well. So that's the reaction, I suppose, amongst friends and colleagues and stuff. So some people are cool, some people are odd, and that's just life, isn't it, you know?
Mm. You spoke about being on The Breakfast Show for 5 years, and that, I'm sure, was very, like, go, go, go. And I was watching the Taylor Swift documentary last week. You probably haven't seen it. But
not yet.
I was so floored when I watched it, because she was at the top of her game, winning all these Grammys, yet still couldn't allow herself to really enjoy it. And you spoke, you know, there about kind of go, 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 and how you don't get to give yourself a pat on the back when times are good. Tell us about, because when you guys finished up on The Breakfast Show, there was a lot of love for you guys. Do you go looking for comments?
No, you don't. I suppose for me, when I finished up, I was more I suppose there was disappointment. Even though, I mean, like, it was, we kind of knew it was going to, you know, we knew it was finishing up. We knew it was coming to an end. It was all handled quite well. But there was the disappointment. I didn't really want anybody telling me how great it was for some reason. You know, I mean, now I'm fine with it. I was like, you know, I just didn't need to hear that at the time, how much. I just handled it badly, probably personally. But at the same time, then you get, like, you know, young people come up to you and say, like, for 5 years, if you imagine, if you go into secondary school in first year, you know, you're probably doing your leaving cert. So that's what they've listened to for their whole second level education. People going into college, I listened to you all through college in my first 2 years of work. So that's kind of mad, you know, that's a big part of someone's life. And I remember it being Ian Dempsey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember what that meant to me and what that meant to me growing up, and the Jerry Ryan. So you're kind of like, okay, right, I get it. So that's kind of, now I can look back and go, well, that was nice. That's really cool to be part of someone's life like that. But do you go looking for comments? Not really. As I said, I started focusing on myself, and I felt like I kind of was suffering post-traumatic stress after, because, I mean, you know, the hours, you kind of put everything on hold because all of your energy needs to go into doing that breakfast show. You need to get up in the morning, you need to be able to do 3 hours of live radio. It needs to be good. Then afterwards, you need to talk about what wasn't good and what was bad. And then, you know, so it's constant. And it needs all of your energy. And unfortunately, I feel like family suffers, friends suffer, your life suffers. You put yourself second, third, probably fourth. I did a lot of sort of fitness stuff, and that was probably the only thing that got me through, was being physically fit, because I was kind of sleeping okay and I'd go to the gym, I was eating properly, and that probably helped get me through the 5 years. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff put on hold that comes looking for you when you as I said the other day, you need to deal with your shit or your shit will deal with you, you know. So stuff came looking for me too. So, Keith, we need to deal with this now that you have a bit of time.
And I think that's along the lines of what Caroline Flack said, is that she was pushing things under the rug for so long. And you kind of just do that, I think. Now, when I was in radio, I was on the news, so people don't have a lot to say about newsreaders. But I can see with, you know, presenters that I've worked with and my friends, that it's just so intense. You're only as good as your last book, and constantly there's who's next, what's next, what'll I do next. That's just a lot of pressure.
And you're kind of aware always that they could be and possibly are lining up your replacement as well. So, you know, you've someone come, you're looking over your shoulder, you're looking ahead. It just takes all your energy. Just to talk about Caroline Flack. It was such a shocking thing to hear, and I feel like, you know, we almost feel guilty when we feel shocked at something like that, because, and people will say it to you, oh, for God's sake, you didn't even know her, you know. Someone might respond to something you say on Twitter, you know, you didn't even know or whatever. But it's okay to feel shocked about somebody you didn't know. I think for us working in the industry, you're like, oh my God, she's one of us. obviously she's a lot more successful. You know, I suppose you could say her career has gone a lot further. She's done a lot more. But still, she's 40 years of age. She's one of us. And you kind of go, oh my God, you feel like a... You know, she's a sister. She's a brother. She's part of the industry. And unfortunately, for this is very kind of hard to talk about because someone has died. But it was almost like the perfect storm, because she was caught up in a world. She was in the middle, but she was in a caught up in a world of the tabloid press being absolutely horrific. People on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media being absolutely horrific towards her. It's easy to say for people to say, well, you know, she probably just could have, you know, stopped looking at Twitter. It doesn't work like that, because when you're in the industry, you need some sort of affirmation as to how am I doing? Am I about to get fired? You know, and that's kind of where some people get their affirmation. So it was the perfect storm, and also the industry really needs to take a good hard look at itself at how it treats these people. So there was an incident that happened and could happen to me and could happen to you, where the tabloids picked up on it. She was going to have to go to court over because of what the press did. They really pushed this thing that happened. Turns out it was just some sort of accident that nobody... It wasn't what people thought, tried to say it was. And when we look at the industry, they needed to stand by her. They needed to say, look, Caroline, I know the story was that she walked away from the job, but did they do enough to look after her? So the industry weren't looking after her. The press were having a go at her, and social media was having a go at her. People were having a go at her. And she was caught in the middle in this perfect storm. And I really think that there's this thing in the industry that you bought the ticket, you sold your soul to the devil, now you have to deal with the consequences. This comes with fame, which is wrong. Let's just say this now, that is wrong. This is an old thing that came from the old days of Hollywood, the old days of even before Hollywood. So agents and managers and people who ran the show or whatever the show was or ran the movies, they needed to be able to tell these people that they were nothing. They needed to be in charge, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you look at somebody like, I can remember Max Clifford, right? A particularly horrible person, right? Who died in prison. So Max Clifford would have been one of those people saying about fame, look, you bought the ticket, you deal with it. He was supposed to be an agent. He should have been looking after people. He wasn't looking after people.
Yeah.
He was a terrible person. But he has somehow told the public, in a way, that it's okay to be horrible to these people because they bought the ticket. They sold their soul to the devil. And being horrible to them and them hearing these horrible comments is part of the job. It's not. It shouldn't be. And it's very helpful for the industry to allow this myth to exist. It's very helpful for somebody who's running a TV show to go, well, you know, we're washing our hands of this person now because, you know, they've clearly lost it and we don't have any responsibility. I had friends who got into boy bands, girl bands back in the day, and that's horrific. That's an horrific industry, because you'll take somebody, a young person, maybe just out of school. If they're lucky, they'll make it and they'll be very famous for a few years. And then once the public grow tired of them and you grow tired of them, you'll just let, they're gone. So what's that person supposed to do? Go and work in a shop afterwards? Nobody really has any sympathy for them. Mm. And they're like, she had 5 years being on Top of the Pops and selling records. Why would anyone? Sure, that was great for you. Mm. Meanwhile, this person is like totally lost, doesn't have any grasp of the real world, nobody looked after them. Nobody minded them.
Mm.
And everybody's saying, well, you know, you bought this ticket. You sold your soul to the devil. So, you know, deal with it.
And go away now.
And now go away. And I just think the industry, TV, movies, music, it really needs to take a look at itself and start being honest with itself and stop perpetuating this myth that it's okay to be horrible to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Perpetuating this myth that suits you. To say that actually, you know, it's all right for the public to be horrible to this person because, you know, they're in the public eye. It's not. You know, so stop. And people should stop. You know, and I use Max Clifford because it's horrible people like that that perpetuated the myth.
Mm.
And there's lots of things going on now. If you look at the Me Too movement and all this kind of stuff, and people who are in charge of, in charge in the movie industry, and these, you know, there's certain people, very well known people, in court at the moment, and all this stuff is going on for a reason because these people were in power and they were wrong, and part of what they did was this myth that they perpetuated. The people who bought the ticket deserve the treatment they get, and it's wrong.
The Me Too movement seems to have had an effect and things are changing. Do you think, I suppose now everyone this week is talking about be kind. Mm. Do you think anything is going to change?
I think, I don't know. I hope so. I think that, as I said, like it's up to the industry to kind of look at itself and to say what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and to understand that when it, you know, takes somebody on, there's very few industries apart from, well, let's call it showbiz, there's very few other industries where you'd be allowed to take somebody on for a few years to do a job for you and then just drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And push them into the limelight, use them for as long, for the 3 years you need them for, and then maybe if you feel like they're, you know, their songs aren't selling or their show isn't getting as many listeners or viewers or whatever, then you just drop them. That's for me, that's like, I know this is a weird analogy. There was a certain fast food restaurant where they decided that the staff would come in, and if they weren't busy, the staff would sit down in the restaurant and they wouldn't pay them for those hours, and they'd only pay them for the hours where, you know, where people came in and when the restaurant was busy, and they tried to get, and they got away with it for a couple of months, and then people went, hang on a second, you definitely cannot do that. In a way, the industry do that. They'll bring you in.
Mm.
And they'll use you, whatever it is they think that you have that they can exploit. And then when they feel like they've exploited whatever they think that you have that they can exploit, they'll drop you and that's it. Good luck.
Shocking.
It is shocking. It is shocking. And look, nobody's going, you see, and because we perpetuated the myth that these people, you know, well, don't do it. Don't sign up for it. Well, this is my thing. This is what I want to do. What, like, you want to be an accountant. You want to be an engineer. What if I turned around to you and said, well, don't be an engineer because if the industry is that bad, that's not fair. That's not right. I'm not doing this. You're not doing it for the fame. You're doing it because this is what you feel like you have to do, that you want to do. So it's not acceptable. You know, it's like somebody saying that, you know, engineers did some sort of deal with the devil and they deserve criticism for their work. It's bizarre. It's bonkers.
Did you see Laura Whitmore's link on Sunday on her BBC show? I thought, I love Laura Whitmore, and I think she did a great job, because I think in times of crisis, a lot of us say, oh no, I better leave it, or, oh, I better not say anything in case I offend people. But she got on air and she spoke her truth at a time when people were looking for answers, as we said at the start of the podcast. And I just thought that she did a great job and that she should be applauded for that.
Yeah, no, I think it took a lot of bravery for her. And I was actually just thinking on the way up, I remember, like, when things would happen, when I would have been, you know, a few years ago, I wasn't able to speak from the heart. I wasn't able to communicate how I felt. So if something terrible happened, and I remember myself and Joe that I did the show with on Spin, years ago we were doing a show on a radio station before Spin. It was, and 9/11 happened, and I don't know why I'm using that as an example, but I wouldn't have been able to express myself or say how I felt about it. So I was like, we should just not do a show. We should just not... You know, it was easier to just avoid doing anything. Other things happened down through the years where I'd be like, we just need to just play music and not talk and not say anything, because, you know, because I was afraid of sitting down and thinking about what I thought about this and then saying it.
Mm.
And I think that it was brilliant for her to just... And she's young. I mean, she's youngish, you know, but it was incredibly brave. It's not easy to sit down there and go, what do I actually feel about this? And also... You've got to sort of ignore the people in your head saying, well, that's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
Why
or
would
it's
you say
the wrong
that?
Thing to say.
That's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
To allow yourself to maybe say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. but actually say how you feel. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah. No, fair play to her.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And then we saw.
And they're friends. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? What would I be doing if that happened to my friend? You know, would I be able to do that? I'm not sure.
Well, we can only hope that this will make people think twice, maybe, about what they say online.
I think people really need. You just it goes back to what your mom and dad said to you. If you can't say if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's all. You don't need to tell somebody that you think something horrible about them. And if you do, it's like I said about the jealousy thing. If you feel jealous, that's something I feel like that's something you would like to maybe do yourself and start working towards that. You know, don't have a go at them for doing it.
I think what you said about turning the attention on yourself is a really good point. That's what I did when I got sick. I was at home for a year and I finally got to work on myself for the first time in my life. Mm. I read, I meditated, I was digging deep every day. But after that year, I came out as my true self and as this, I suppose, awakened person. Mm. And I feel so blessed. The reason I started this podcast was I was in a hole and I can picture it. I can picture myself, you know, with no hair, sitting on my Pia has a day bed in her room, and she would be asleep in the cot, and she'd always sleep from 1 to 3. So the house would be really dark. And I'd sit in there like no hair in my dressing gown, like just didn't know how I'd ever be happy again. Like I felt happy because I had a child, but how will I ever like go out again and just feel happy and not worried? And I was like, if I started a podcast and I started to get all these messages as I shared my story, I went on to have 3 more kids. This, you know, this happened to me, but now 5 years later, this is what I'm doing and I'm happy and I laugh. And I thought, oh my God, if I could just spread these messages of positivity. And that's why I started my podcast. And I remember when I heard in December what the incident in Caroline Flack's house, and I thought, yes, this is the worst thing to have ever happened to her. But from even when you're in the you feel like you're in the gutter, to know that you are the light and there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you have the power if you give yourself time to change things around. And it's so sad that she didn't get to that point. Would you agree? Do you know what I'm saying when I'm saying that?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think that was probably, maybe it could have been a life-changing moment for her. If maybe she'd been given the support, if she'd found the right people to talk to, if she'd just someone saying to you, you've nothing to worry about. Just you need somebody to say you've nothing to worry about. She spoke about, there was I think it was an Instagram post she wrote a few years ago where she said that, and this is something we need to be really careful as well about with regard saying, just talk to somebody. She spoke about feeling like she opened up to a friend of hers, and her friend described her as a drain. Mm. So she opened up to the wrong person. And that can be, that obviously made her feel like, people think I'm a drain. I'm the only way I can behave in front of my friends is if everything's great. I have to not only do I have to go on television and pretend everything's all right, now I have to be, now I'm performing all of the time. It's draining to perform all the time. It will kill you, mm-hmm. literally. She obviously felt like she had that moment where she's turned to a friend and said, and the friend said, you're draining. That was her moment, and it didn't happen. So then she was like, I need to keep performing because I don't want people to think I'm a drain. You know, I mean, she was obviously very energetic and love life and a little bit crazy like the rest of us, and that's all great, you know. But she also needed to have those moments where she's going, I just feel terrible, and to have someone listen to her. And that's why I talk about therapy, because try and speak to a therapist, because they're trained to deal with what you need to talk about, and they won't call you a drain. Sometimes, unfortunately, you might turn to the wrong friend or someone in your house, and they might go, maybe because they don't have the faculties to deal with it, or they might not be in a good space themselves, they might not be able to deal with it. Don't let that put you off. You might just have opened up to the wrong person. Try again, or try and get in touch with a therapist. That's what I would always say. Try and get to somebody professional who can deal with you. Lots of businesses offer the service for free. There's, I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, I have often put up, there's a few different therapists that will offer like discount rates, or you know, they'll do a session with you for €20, or you know, it doesn't have to be there's ways of doing it that won't cost you a lot of money. But that can be an issue with this kind of, you know, just talk, you know, it's just talk. But be careful. If you do talk, you might talk to the wrong person. They might not have time for you. Sometimes you could be in a relationship and the person that you should talk to is the person you need to talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel like they've nowhere to turn. Everyone thinks I'm an idiot. And if I start moaning now about my problems, you know, I know what they're going to tell me. They're going to tell me to F off. They're going to call me a drain. So we have to be careful. It's always good to talk, and it's always good to, you know, you almost need to try and find someone good to talk to. If you maybe opened up to the wrong person, don't give up.
Yeah, or if you're the person who maybe you were dismissive of a friend who came to you, that it's okay to go back.
Yeah.
That it's okay to go back and go, remember you said that? I don't know if, you know, I'm happy with my reaction to that.
Mm. But it's like we all have those friends, and I've been that person. Maybe they're manic, maybe they're a bit mad, you know? And it's great to have people like that. We need colourful. We need to allow ourselves to be mad and to be living life and to be exuberant and to be sometimes crazy and up and down all over the place. And maybe there are people out there that you think, oh, she just loves the drama. Mm. Well, have a chat with her. Maybe the drama is a mask, you know. Have a chat with him. Maybe the drama is a mask, you know.
I just wanted to say such a huge thank you from the bottom of my heart for today. I'm so glad that we got to sit down together and talk about this. And I have no doubt that people will find so much comfort in your words. So thank you for your honesty.
No problem. I already have those voices coming in going, yeah, Keith, that wasn't great. And I could have been better. I'm learning to deal with them. But thanks a million, Jordan. Thanks a million.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.